Mayor Lightfoot is beginning her remarks at the OEMC.
And I'm certain. But we will get through this because we must and we can. We have the strength as individuals, as communities, and as a city to rise above this moment and push forward. And we will. We made a lot of hard decisions over the weekend. And I know some of them were challenging for people. But I also have hope today on how we will move forward and heal as a city together. First, I want you to see just a sample of the public servants who have been working hard, literally night and day, to make sure that we are responding to the needs of residents all across the city. These are incredible public servants and community leaders who are at the ready to help, and they have been. Superintendent Brown, Commissioner Ford of the Fire Department, Commissioner Escareno of the Business Affairs and Consumer Protection Department, Public Health Commissioner Dr. Allison Arwady, Buildings Commissioner Judy Friedland, Streets and Sanitation Commissioner Mr. Tully, OEMC Director Rich Guidas. And we also are pleased to see with us today Malcolm Crawford of the Austin African American Business Networking Association. Thank you for being here, sir. Now, I will speak to our broader long-term response efforts in a moment, but I want to provide an update on some immediate public safety strategy. Following the damage and violence that we saw Saturday in our downtown and Loop area, we made the necessary decision of limiting access to only residents, businesses, police officers, and essential workers that live and operate and are employed in those areas. We needed to assess the damage and begin the recovery process. We also did this in order to direct our police and other public safety neighborhoods, particularly on the south and the west sides, to those neighborhoods that have been targeted by the same destructive forces that we saw Saturday night in the downtown area. And that effort continued yesterday evening and will continue today as we strategically deploy resources in our neighborhoods, focusing on their commercial corridors, which have been targets of looting and violence, and serve as the economic lifeblood of so many communities, particularly on the south and the west side. In addition to our public safety personnel, we will be deploying and moving personnel from our Streets and Sanitation Department, our Water Department, our Department of Transportation, our Buildings and Business Affairs and Consumer Protection into our neighborhoods on the south and the west side to assess the damage, to assist small businesses and local chambers of commerce so that we can start the process now of rebuilding our key commercial corridors in our neighborhoods. We will be deploying mayor's office personnel to assist in these cleanup efforts. And I want to be absolutely clear on this. There is no way, no way, that we would ever let any neighborhood receive more resources and protection than any others, ever. And that certainly didn't happen over the course of the weekend. What we saw last night is completely heart-wrenching to me personally, and I know to many of you who I have spoken to and heard from. The updates that I received all day and night from our aldermen, from local community leaders, about the attacks on local storefronts, and in particular our small black-owned businesses, was nothing short of devastating. I know that for many of you, your life's work went into developing these businesses and commercial centers. I know that for many of you, your blood, sweat, and tears went into recruiting businesses to come support the vibrancy of your communities. And I want you to hear from me. Not only do I know that, I and we will be your partner in rebuilding. We will not let our city be in shambles. When I appeared on the West Side last October to announce our Invest Southwest initiative, $750 million city dollars that I committed to make sure that we were reversing the decades of neglect and lack of investment in these communities. My resolve was certain and clear. It is no less now. And if anything, I'm even more determined because I know the need is even more great after what we've seen over the last 24 and 48 hours. We will rebuild, and the city of Chicago government will lead those rebuilding efforts. We are not going to leave our neighborhoods behind. That will not happen on my watch. Now, I've heard some folks imply that police services and resources weren't distributed equally yesterday, or that somehow we chose to protect the downtown at the expense of the communities. Putting aside how deeply offensive that is for me as a black woman, for the superintendent as a black man, and these other officers of high rank who grew up in these neighborhoods and communities and proudly serve them every single day. The fact of the matter is exactly the opposite was true. The strategy yesterday was to add more personnel and services to the neighborhoods on the South and West Side. And that's what happened. The fact is that the violence that we saw and the looting that we saw spread like a wildfire. And let me just share with you how I know this to be true. Yesterday, the 911 center received 65,000 calls in one 24-hour period, and about 50,000 more than what you normally receive in a typical day. 50,000 more calls for service across the city. Of course, nothing is typical about these times. And to be clear, as the day wore on, every half hour, there were 1,000 calls every 30 minutes. And in some periods, in the late afternoon and evening, those calls reach over 2,000 calls per 30 minutes, all far exceeding normal call volumes. And between Friday and Sunday, there were over 10,000 calls for looting alone. Now, the superintendent will speak more to what the specific deployments were and what we were seeing yesterday, but be clear, the police department, was responding to these calls as best they could with a significant amount of additional resources on the South and the West Side. The challenge was, it was everywhere. Everywhere. So, if we had a police department three times the size, it would have been difficult to keep up with the calls for service yesterday. Now, I know that's cold comfort, but I want to be clear that we didn't stand by and let the South and the West Side burn, as unfortunately some people are propagating. That's just simply not true. This is an all-hands-on-deck moment, and not just for law enforcement, but for all of city government, but also for all of you. As we've been saying over the last couple of days, we need all people of goodwill, from the faith community, from community leaders, to stand up and rise with us and not allow the criminal element to overwhelm the hard work and sacrifice of so many all over the city. We can't allow that to happen, and we will not allow that to happen. We will come together as a community, linked arm in arm, fates join together to make sure that we speak with one voice, that in Chicago we will stand strong and united together. I want to talk a little bit about the specifics that what residents can expect today. There will be street closures along commercial neighborhoods and designated hotspots so that we can allow for businesses to be boarded up, debris to be cleaned. And we will do that in conjunction with ward superintendents and aldermen. In respect to our public transit, our citywide CTA train and bus service resumed earlier this morning. However, we will continue to bypass stops located near the Central Business District. Residents, employees in need of the latest transit information can visit the CTA's website, transitchicago.com. Now, Dr. Arty will also provide details on this in a moment, but I ask her to be here to specifically speak to the other danger that we cannot lose sight of, and that is the fact that what we have seen over these last few days is people abandoning the very public health guidance, social distancing, staying home, that we have taken and made progress during the midst of this pandemic. I've said this before and I'll say it again. COVID-19 has not disappeared from Chicago. It is very much our present. And we worry about the thousands of people that have been out in the streets over the last few days. Please, in exercising your First Amendment rights, or if you were out for any other reason, you have now put yourself at risk. And we need you to isolate yourself. We need you to think about and be conscious of whether or not you are experiencing any signs or symptoms of COVID-19. God forbid that we see a spike that overwhelms our healthcare resources, just as we saw light at the end of the tunnel. But we need now to be careful and to take precautions, and Dr. Arty will speak more to that in a moment. I want to take this moment again to applaud the men and women of the Chicago Police Department and the men and women of the Chicago Fire Department. Bodies are weary, people are tired, but you've been doing heroic work. Now, there have been some reports of misconduct on a part of our personnel, and if that is so, we will investigate and we will get to the bottom of it. We will not spare any resource to do so. And if you believe that you've been mistreated by the police, I urge you to file a complaint. You can reach COPA, the Civilian Office of Police Accountability, by dialing 311. We are not going to abandon our values around police reform and accountability and holding officers responsible. The superintendent has said it multiple times. Now is the time for us to double down on our training around constitutional policing and understanding that respectful constitutional engagement with the people we are all sworn to serve is the most powerful tool beyond your gun and your badge. And I believe in my heart that the vast majority of police officers understand that. But if someone has crossed the line, we will hold them accountable, even in this moment. No excuses. I also want to thank the call takers and dispatchers and police and fire that have been handling these unprecedented volumes with tremendous calm and grace. They are often the unsung heroes of our first responders, and I want to make sure that they get their due. They hear your stress. They hear your trauma. And they take that home with them. So the fact that they are managing and doing their job in these unprecedented times is something we cannot lose sight of. I want to thank the streets and sanitation workers, the water management workers, transportation and CTA workers who are also managing through in difficult circumstances. Your professionalism and service to our city and residents throughout all of the challenges we've been facing over the last 10 weeks, and particularly over the last few days, has been inspiring, and our entire city is grateful. To our residents, I want you to know that we are doing absolutely everything to protect you and keep you safe. To be sure, it's been challenging, but our resolve is no less. Our resolve is complete, and we will get the job done. What we have experienced over these past few days has been unsettling and devastating and unranging. I've had a range of emotions myself, from despair to anger to frustration, but I have never lost my hope. And I urge you to hold on to that hope. That's what will propel us forward and help us heal. There's not a single person here in Chicago or across the country who has not been affected by what we've been seeing and reading in the news. I had an exchange this morning with one of the lawyers for George Floyd, who's a personal friend and somebody I know. And he said to me, "Mayor, I'm committed to making sure that we right the wrong, not only for Mr. Floyd and his family, and that's true, but also for the decades of wrongs that have been committed. I join him in that fight. That's who I am. That's how I got here. And we are all committed and united and repulsed by what we saw in Minneapolis. I understand that the anguish and pain that many people are feeling, its roots stretch back across our history and reach the very fibers of our society, stemming from that original sin. We stood at this podium yesterday, and Reverend Otis Moss from Trinity delivered, I think, a very powerful message and talked both about COVID-19, but also COVID-16-19. If you haven't seen those words, I commend them to you. We have a lot of work to do to heal the wrongs, and we will do that together. We need to confront and reconcile this anguish, and I promise you that we will here in Chicago. But at this moment, right now, our focus has to be on the physical safety of our residents, our families, and our businesses. The violence and destruction that we have seen has been disgraceful to our city and to the meaning of this moment. But above all, our residents and our business owners have personally, deeply been affected. And we need you to stay focused and be with us in this fight so that we can recover who we are as a city and move forward. We can and we will rise above this moment, but only by staying together, only by wrapping our arms around each other, only by talking and practicing love and showing hope and compassion and empathy for our neighbors. This is what's gotten us through this terrible pandemic, and we cannot abandon those values now, even in the face of this hardship that we have seen that's devastated so many neighborhoods. We have to lean into our faith. We have to lean into our values and our sense of community to bring back what we have lost and be able to move forward. I'm committed to that, and I hope you are, and I hope you will join me and the tens of thousands of others who have already started the process of cleaning up, boarding up, and thinking about the promise that always comes with a new day. Thank you.
Mayor Lori Lightfoot with heartfelt words there, saying it was everywhere when referring
to... Thank you, Mayor. Let me start out by recounting the number of arrests, the number of guns recovered, shootings, murders, and injured officers on yesterday. There were 699 arrests on just yesterday, primarily for looting in our city. 461 of those 699 arrests were on the south and west side. Over 64 guns were recovered. 132 officers were injured on just yesterday. There were 48 shootings and 17 lives lost due to homicidal violence just on yesterday. Here's an example of our strategy as it relates to the looting seen in our neighborhoods. To the untrained eye, I've heard reports of officers just standing by watching as people loot our businesses in our neighborhoods, primarily, as I mentioned before, on the south and west side. And that untrained eye would say, why don't cops do something? I was on the ground in the field, and I watched these looters strategically do looting in one area only to try to flank our officers on the back and hit the target they intended. I was at police headquarters. There was a store, electronic store, on the corner. And this strategy was used by a crowd that came up to headquarters intending on destroying that facility and burning our cars. Instead, our officers sent a smaller contingent to the store to repel those looting. While our line officers held the backside of police headquarters for a larger crowd that wanted to get into our police headquarters. We saw this time and time again. Looters do one thing to draw us in one direction, only for their purpose to intend to distract us from their intended target in another area. And so, our officers are very, very well trained. Chief Cato, Chief Waller, Chief Hope, Chief Toronto all saw where, number one, we wanted to protect our neighborhoods. We wanted to protect our neighborhoods. The attack was primarily on the south and west sides. But they did not take the bait. They strategically arrested looters, over 699, while at the same time flanking and outflanking and outsmarting these looters' intended targets. Some of the intended targets were our officers. We had an officer who had a heart attack yesterday. We had an officer who had a broken arm yesterday. Another 130 officers were injured, bruised, and broken. And they get drawn into the crowd without enough officers to support them. And then they get beat and pummeled. And so we strategically waited until we had enough resources to repel the crowd rather than sending in smaller numbers of officers who ended up getting injured and have to be rescued by our officers. We saw this time and time and time again throughout Saturday's looting. I want to thank these officers. They are very professional. They have been very patient. I heard a lot of people say who are not trained, sworn officers say, I wouldn't have had that kind of patience. People hit me, I'm going to hit them back. People throw excrement on me, I'm going to throw it back on them. People try to throw and burn our vehicles, I'm going to retaliate. But this is a noble profession. And those who are sworn to an oath to conduct themselves in the most professional way deserve to wear that badge. Those who don't will be held accountable. And that is clear. So I want to thank these officers. I want to thank our partners, both the National Guard, State Police, and our federal partners for all their support, along with other city services, I want to thank Richard Guidance. I want to thank Streets and Sanitation. I want to thank the fire department for all of their support. This has been a collaborative effort to control our city in the face of these threats. While on the protest line in the field supporting my officers on yesterday, there was a small group of peaceful protesters who came to express their First Amendment rights. And it was very emotional. It became emotional for me. And they said one thing that I want to share with you. This one young black female who couldn't have been more than 21 years old kept repeating to the officers standing in line, "Say his name." She would say, "Say his name," meaning George Floyd. I mean, it was a chant that just built and built and built, "Say his name." She meant acknowledge Mr. Floyd's death, unjustly death, murder. Say his name. And what I'm embarrassed is I was out in the field, I was holding the line supporting my officers. I whispered his name. When she chanted, "Say his name," I silently thought, yeah, Mr. Floyd was murdered. And we saw it on live TV. And I'm part of the profession that those officers in Minneapolis painted with a broad brush. But today, publicly, I want to say his name. As a police leader of the second largest police department in the country, Mr. George Floyd, we grieve with you and your family. We are embarrassed by the cops in Minneapolis' use of force, asphyxiating you on the streets of Minneapolis. We stand with Mr. Floyd's family. But to the rioters and looters, you disgrace the name of Mr. Floyd by your actions. Hate can never drive out hate. Evil can never drive out evil. Two wrongs can never make a right. An eye for an eye leaves both of us blind. We will enforce these laws in this city. We will hold you accountable. What you've done in the cover of night will be brought to the light, and we will pursue justice. Now I'd like to turn it over to Rosa. Is that next in the lineup? No, that's what I have on my notes.
Dr. Awadi.
I'm sorry, Dr. Awadi next. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent, and thank you, Mayor. So the last time that I presented at a press conference, it was to share the very good news that we were finally, seeing major progress against COVID here in Chicago. You'll recall that we did not lift the stay-at-home order at the same time as the state because we weren't quite there yet. And while we continue to make progress, I am concerned that this weekend, not just related to the protests, but related to a lot of people gathering in Chicago for a lot of reasons, we may see ourselves take a step backwards down the line against COVID here in Chicago. And that's because COVID-19 is caused by a virus, and that virus does not care what else is going on in the city. And nothing has changed, unfortunately, related to COVID-19. We still do not have a treatment. We still do not have a cure. We do not have a vaccine. COVID-19 still takes every opportunity it can to spread. And I'll remind you that still here in Chicago, We are seeing hundreds of new cases of COVID-19 every day, and we're seeing that particularly in settings where people are unable to keep a 6-foot distance or unable to wear the face coverings that serve some protection for yourself, but importantly, help protect others. If you've been in any kind of gathering this weekend, whether it's protest related, whether it's socially related, whether you've understandably reached out for contact at this time that has been so difficult for Chicago and the country, I do want to let you know that you are at increased risk for having contracted COVID-19. And my ask is that if you have been in groups, especially if you were not able to keep that 6-foot distance and wear the face covering, I ask that as much as possible for the next 14 days, you self-quarantine. And that's because it takes up to 14 days from a time where you have potentially been infected with COVID for the disease to show itself. We'll be monitoring, of course, the statistics across the city, but I especially want to ask that if you have been in close contact with people outside of your household this weekend, please avoid close contact with those at the highest risk for serious outcome and death from COVID. That means people who are over 60 and people who have underlying medical conditions. If you start to develop any symptoms, you must stay home except to get tested, and you must get tested. And we need everyone, now more than ever, to please practice the physical, the public health guidance, even during this time where it's not the top thing on anyone's mind. If you are out, keep that 6-foot physical distance. Wear your cloth face covering. Keep using the hand hygiene. And if you are sick, even a little bit sick, or you've been in close contact with anyone who has COVID, we need you to stay home. Get testing if you have any concern that you might have been exposed to COVID. And please continue to stay safe as we look ahead to rebuilding Chicago. And with that, I'll bring up Commissioner Judy Friedland from the Department of Buildings.
Good morning. Okay. Good morning. My name is Judy Friedland, and I'm the Commissioner of the City of Chicago Department of Buildings. The Chicago Department of Buildings' top priority is to protect the health and safety of Chicago residents and building owners through the Chicago Building Code. We do this in a number of ways, including inspections, and that's what we've been doing since yesterday. We're doing that to keep buildings safe and to keep people safe where they live. Our DOB leadership and our team of highly trained inspectors have been working tirelessly since yesterday to evaluate the buildings that have sustained damage, both in the neighborhoods and downtown. We are committed to assist in any way we can to all building owners during this challenging time to protect their buildings and their livelihoods. We are doing this by inspection assessments. So we're going out, we're evaluating businesses that have been damaged, we're providing support for boarding up, we're providing expanded list of companies that can help these businesses board up. As of yesterday evening, maybe around early evening, we had identified 180 buildings that we worked with, and 50 of them we used our own vendors to board up. We are continuing to go through the neighborhood since very, very early this morning and through the night, contacting the various aldermen with affected areas, working with them, working with business affairs, the Department of Streets and Sanitation, CDOT, and OEMC, so that we can get to the areas and get these buildings boarded up as soon as possible and provide all that support. And also, as businesses seek to reopen, I want to assure you that we are your partner, not your obstacle. We are here to help you, to support you, get reopened, and get your business back in order so that you can retain your livelihoods and work together with the Department of Health and the Mayor's Office on the phases of reopening. But we want to get you ready, and we're here to be there for you. So with that said, if you notice a property that's open and you don't see that it's been addressed yet, please call 311. Please call 311 if the building department can assist you in any way. We are working 24/7 to be there for you and to get our businesses boarded up and keep our neighborhood safe. Thank you.
You're listening to live coverage of the City of Chicago response to the weekend violence and plans for the week ahead on WGN Chicago.
My name is John Tully. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Streets and Sanitation. Today I want to start by thanking my Streets and Sanitation family for their dedication to keeping Chicago clean and safe. They've responded with the help and responded because that's what we do. In addition to providing equipment to help block streets, our cleanup efforts are in full swing. Beginning today, it started at 6 a.m. this morning, the department will begin work 12-hour shifts until further notice. All of our division superintendents, assistant division superintendents, ward superintendents, and our senior management will be out, lights on, you'll see us out there, surveying areas to see what we need to address. Right now, sanitation crews are out picking up garbage in the normal areas of service, and they've been instructed to, if they see debris, to clean it up. Our street sweepers will be going into the areas that have high concentration of damage. We've also redeployed street sweeping from the loop operations into these areas, and we're going to be out there until everything's cleaned up. Yesterday, we saw what happened, particularly south and west sides, and we put a plan in place, which we started this morning. We've assembled labor forces from various Department of Streets and Sanitation bureaus, and they'll be equipped with blowers, rakes, shovels, bags to clean up these areas. We will be here to do what Streets and Sanitation does, to clean up and keep our city safe, but we're not doing that alone. We are working with Water Management, the Department of Transportation, Buildings, and BACP to further strengthen our presence in these areas. They have also provided us with an additional 175 employees to do this. We've also notified the Chicago Police Department that we'll be in these areas during 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. at night so that they may pay special attention for our workforce. The citywide cooperation is what makes our city great, and we'll do our part to clean it up so we can begin to rebuild. With that, I'd like to introduce Commissioner Rosa Escarino from BACP.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Rosa Escareño, and I'm the Commissioner for the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. Over the past couple of months, we have been working very closely with our business community, and we have seen pain and suffering just in the trying to come into the phases of COVID-19. And our business community has been resilient, and they are continuing to stay positive, and we are working with them every day to ensure that they are aware of every step of what is happening, not just with COVID. And now with this new crisis that we are facing, I mean, words cannot express the hurt I feel for them, because they have been waiting patiently. They are very concerned about their workers. They want to be reopened. They want to make our neighborhoods vibrant and open again. And let's not forget that it is the small businesses in the community that actually hire most of our employees. So when we see this destruction, what I see and what I'm hearing from our business community is that they see, as the mayor very eloquently stated, their livelihoods really just completely devastated. Their goal, many workers were hoping to come back to work as we reopen, and our business community, and I'm a little bit emotional because we were so working so hard to reopen this week, and just hearing Dr. Arwoody and our and the possibility that we may have to be delayed. These are families that rely on these jobs, that corner store, that local shoe shop, that local motor vehicle shop that has now been completely gutted. There were employees and workers, those are the moms and the young kids down the block that depend on those jobs. So I really feel for our business community. But I want you to know that we have continued to stay connected with them. We have at least 2 calls a day with all of our chambers. We partner with about 100 chambers every day. And we, under the mayor's direction, as we've been on these calls with them, they continue to give the mayor and us additional input and guidance as to what they need. So under the mayor's direction, we have dedicated an additional line of communication with our chambers, understanding that our resources with the police department and OEMC are stretched so that the chambers of commerce can actually work directly with the Department of Business Affairs. We can get their information and also work as a triage to continue to work with our different departments, Department of Buildings, Streets and Sand, Department of Transportation, so that we can be an additional resource to get the businesses the help that they need as we start to rebuild and reopen. Again, under the mayor's leadership also, we are looking at the different areas that have been hit very hard. We were in communication last night and this morning with our chamber partners, and we are going out and assessing the damage in many of these areas, and we're going to be walking those commercial corridors with them. I'm heading over to 75th Street and making sure that we're walking with the chambers. A very interesting story. I just got off the phone with Melinda Kelly of the Chatham area, and she said that last night as looters were coming in and trying to attack some of the businesses that have been there for years, that her the community and some of her chamber leadership came out and were blocking, standing in front of these businesses because they know that these are families that depend on them. So I truly commend them, and I want our chambers partners to know and the business community that it is the chambers that you should be working with so that you can get information directly to us. Certainly call 911. Of course, if that's a critical and urgent emergency, of course you should still call 311. But if you want an additional line, please work with us, and we will be working to do that as we work to reopen. So again, I guess my biggest message is we know that this is a frightening time. I have been with the city for nearly 30 years, and in my lifetime, I have not seen what we have seen today. But this yet shall pass, and we are now, as you see all my colleagues here, we are ready to reopen. We are ready to start rebuilding. And as soon as the mayor and our health commissioner says that it's time to go, we will reopen. We are already working on that infrastructure, and we will continue to work on that so that we are ready to go, and we want to be able to support you. And so today, I want to welcome one of our great partners. As I said, we work with about 100 of them. We talk all the time so that he can also give you a little bit of a snapshot of the great work that we have seen out in the communities. We've seen a lot of devastation, but we've seen business owners and communities come together to clean up their neighborhoods. So I want to welcome Malcolm Crawford of the Austin African American Chamber to just give you a little bit more. And again, I want the business community to know the mayor and this entire team is here to support you. We're going to be hitting the neighborhoods. We're already there. Our teams are already there. And we're coming this entire week. We're going to be out there supporting you. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you, Mayor. And I'm, you know, in this time, this is a little bit of a different time, but in this, I still find hope. And being in my community today and driving around Austin, I saw the devastation. But as the devastation was happening, my phone started ringing. And my phone started ringing from different business owners and then from the police department. And then I got a call from the deputy mayor. And he asked me, what did I see? And as I was talking to him and we started talking, he said, help is on the way. Just hold on. Help is on the way. We're still here. We're still working. And that's the difference, that people are still coming together. And so I've talked to a lot of the business owners, and I salute them. I salute people like Charmaine Riquette of Uncle Remus, who's holding the line and still in business. People like Letitia May, who came and put a beautiful business on Chicago Avenue, who's still holding the line. People like Ray Basharoff, who has a store, and he's still holding the line, and people are there. I've seen people walk in Madison Street with garbage bags and brooms, and I stopped to talk to them, and I asked them, what city service or where do they work so I can thank them? They said, we just heard about what happened. We go to Northwestern, and we just came down to clean up. We had people, those are the people that you don't see. But Chicago is a resilient city. I love Chicago. I love what's been going on. When I talk about what's been going on, the Department of BACP has been a partner who has called over and over again, and I started to call it the dirty word Zoom, because we were on Zoom calls all the time asking what's happening in the community, what more can we do. This level of support is different, and we really appreciate it. And, you know, we're here, and we do understand that for a lot of our businesses, this is a difficult time. And I have a business. I have property owners that are in my properties, and I'm still telling them that we've been here before. And when it's darkest, that's when you begin to see the light. And right now, we know it's dark, but soon we'll see the light, and we're going to keep pressing because this too shall pass. Thank you.
Before I take questions, I also wanted to acknowledge the deputy chiefs who are here. To my far right, Deputy Chief Holt is responsible for the south operations on the south side of the city. Deputy Chief Cato, who has a portion of the west side, community of Austin certainly included in that. And I want to also acknowledge Deputy Chief Tirado, who's also got part of the west side and the central part of the city. They have been doing yeoman's work, born and raised in Chicago, care about the communities. And I want to make sure that I acknowledge them for the support that they're giving to residents all over our city. And thank you so much personally for what you're doing. Happy to take questions. Okay. If I can just ask you to speak up a little bit, Craig.
Several questions about the refugees. The number of people who are left in the camp. And how many of them are here? Are there a lot of data that people who have come down from the Minneapolis?
So I'll start. The people that have been arrested are people who weren't peaceful protesters. There's a narrative that's out there. There are people who were arrested initially on Saturday for a lot of arrests for disorderly conduct. Yesterday, a lot of arrests are for looting and for thefts. And I'll let the superintendent get into more details about that.
Sure, and I'm very aware across the country where there's been this claim that outsiders are agitating the protests and they're the people who have done damage. We have some of that. We haven't done an inventory of all our arrestees. We do have at least one group from Minneapolis. We have others in the neighborhoods that are from Chicago, South Side, West Side, just to be quite honest with you, who are really just displaying criminal behavior. It's not First Amendment protest, assembly, or speech. And we have others, I think, onlookers who come and try to express themselves in the right ways that just get caught up in the crowd and soon learn it's time for us to leave. But when night falls is when we've seen the majority of the criminality, where people just take advantage in the cover of night to damage the city.
National parks is not enough, 3,000 or 4,000.
The question is about the National Guard and Alderman saying that the few hundred are not enough. There should be more than that.
We are strategically using the National Guard. We have an adequate number. Our officers, our Chicago police officers, are best suited to patrol our neighborhoods. We've built the community trust, and it's fragile. We don't want to take it for granted. Our National Guard has not been in our community policing effort building trust in the neighborhoods. We don't want to take steps back by, National Guard not knowing how fragile our trust that we've so greatly built over this short period of time since 2016 to come in and unawares create more problems than solutions. Their utilization is for blocking intersections, basically controlling the outer perimeter strategically so that our officers can be in our neighborhoods throughout the city doing their job in the most professional way.
There have been numerous questions that have been somewhat addressed, but maybe specifically answered to this. On the west side and the south side, many people did feel abandoned. Like there was so much effort and concentration on protecting downtown.
Just not accurate. That I've heard that. It's just not accurate. You look at the numbers. Could I finish my thought? It's not accurate. And here's the actual data to support that. During the downtown looting and time that Saturday, we made about a little over 300 arrests, some for looting, some for disorderly. On yesterday, when none of the looting, none of the disorderly happened in the downtown, none of it, all of our resources were deployed to the neighborhoods, west side, south side. We made nearly 700 arrests, twice the effort in the neighborhoods. If the narrative is true, you would have greater numbers in the downtown area than you would have in the neighborhood. So the facts just don't support the presumption that we did something more in downtown than we did in the neighborhoods. All of our efforts on yesterday were in the neighborhoods on the west and south sides. And I would say I was on the ground with Cato on the west side, where you had this distraction technique to misdirect our resources in one area so that they could really attack the more predominant retail that we were trying to keep and hold, which was their true target. And we didn't take the bait. We send enough resources to put the small fires out that was just used as distraction techniques by this group. And then we came back and held the predominant retail on the west side. I mean, it really was smart policing with the right tone. When looters got aggressive, we made arrests. When they dispersed, when we got on scene, either with pepper spray or other less lethal tools, orders or whatever, we moved around but held the predominant area where we think were the true targets of these looters.
Mayor, a question for you that you are watching some time and asked last week your response to Donald Trump to this remark at you. What is your response to the looters from the Capitol?
Well, it was a little more than just that. Look, anybody who is fomenting violence is somebody that we need to stand up and we call out. It doesn't matter what office they hold. Doesn't matter if they hold no office. Anyone who is fomenting violence is doing wrong. And we need to stand up united against that. That's the context in which I made my remarks about the president. And what I've consistently said over these last few days in particular is we can't conflate righteous anger and First Amendment expression that we should absolutely protect and support. That's the right thing to do. But that is different than people who are engaging and trying to co-opt this moment of pain and turn it into something that is absolutely lawless and criminal. I've been very clear about that.
Craig Gilmore, Peter Radio. It sounds like that the city is going to delay moving into phase three because of the other people have to come down.
Is that a question or a declaration?
I'm reading what Craig Gilmore said.
We have not made any decision one way or the other about that. Of course, I'm concerned based upon the issues that Dr. Arwady articulated. Of course, I'm concerned.
This is a question about whether this might delay the reopening of the city this week.
We were preparing and saw the additional resources that they were putting in to opening up their businesses, community groups that were ready to start fully engaging again. And for many of those people, all of that effort, all of those resources were reduced to kindling or went down in flames. So we need to continue our outreach to our neighbors and to residents across the city to understand the magnitude of the impact. And then, and only then, can we make a determination about whether we're ready on Wednesday. Well, first of all, when you go out and you assume that risk, there's little that we can do other than do what we're doing, which is admonish people and advise people who have been out to really pay attention to themselves to determine whether or not they are exhibiting in the next few days any of those symptoms. Regarding specific cases, I can't really comment on that. My sense is that people were processed in the normal course. If there are specific cases that she'd like us to follow up on, happy to do that. But I can't sit here and tell you that I have that level of detail. I do not. I'm sorry. So CTA opened back up this morning. That announcement was made, I believe, at either 5 or 5:30. We're continuing to bypass the downtown area in consultation with the CTA. And if there are other service changes, what I would do is direct people to the CTA website. But we'll be in constant conversation with President Carter and his team on that issue. Unfortunately, what we saw yesterday was circumstances where people were trying to commandeer buses. People were threatening riders, threatening bus operators, in similar circumstances where the trains were being used, not for normal transportation, but for the ability to facilitate criminal activity. And in consultation and at the request of President Carter, I authorized him to shut down the system overnight, and now the system is back up and running. Well, first of all, as I said in my initial remarks, we don't tolerate police misconduct ever, period. I think I've been very clear on that throughout the course of my career. We don't tolerate it. And if people believe that the police have engaged in misconduct, they need to call 311 and file a complaint. And those complaints will be investigated vigorously. This is not a time where we're bending the rules around police reform and accountability. Not so. Regarding the riot gear issue, look, I'll let the superintendent speak to that, but given what our men and women in the police department faced and anticipated that they would face in when these seemingly peaceful protests turned violent, they wore the equipment that they needed to meet the challenge that was out there and will continue to do so. Our men and women in the police department are on the front lines. They're facing a lot. And there are people that are out there that are actively trying to provoke them into doing something. Having that protective gear gives them the security that they need when a bottle is hurled at them, when a bottle filled with urine or excrement, or when a hammer or a shovel or a bat or a metal pipe, as what we saw, or a gun, They are going to take the precautions that are necessary to meet the challenges that are out there on the street. Superintendent, I don't know if you want to add to that.
What she just said.
We are actively investigating that. We're aware of it, and we will. The superintendent and his team are actively investigating that, and we will put that down. And we are investigating the people who are spreading that over social media, and when we find them, we will bring them to justice. That's not protected speech. That's trying to foment violence, and we're not going to tolerate it.
There was another thing that the section as well suggested that maybe there are some people who are around Northside neighborhoods looking for police stickers on windows to try to identify homeless police officers who targeted them. Have you got reports in the past? If so, are you concerned about police officers' homes potentially being targeted?
Look, we're concerned about safety everywhere. Everywhere. And there are people, unfortunately, who are roving the city, trying to find soft spots that they can exploit. I know that firsthand, and we're going to meet that challenge. Superintendent, I don't know if you want to address that any further.
Yes, mostly what you're reporting are just social media posts that we've seen as well. Our intelligence people have been following up on those. We have yet to confirm any, although we are taking the necessary precautions. Again, we are always cognizant that you know, representatives of government, law enforcement especially, are targets for violence and mischief, and so we are always hyper vigilant, checking our officers and their families.
You're listening to live coverage of the city news conference regarding the violence over the weekend and plans for the week ahead on 720 WGN Chicago. We are doing our best to amplify the questions, but it's just not set up well to be able to understand just what they're being asked.
Brought that up. And let me say this. Obviously, we're aware of the fact that Illinois is a concealed carry state and that many people have weapons at their disposal in their homes and their businesses. Do not take matters into your own hand. Call the police. We've seen tragedy happen in this country and recently when people felt like they could take matters into their own hand. Let me remind you of the killing of Mr. Arbery. Do not pick up arms and try to be the police. If there's a problem, call 911. We will respond. But I urge people to show strength and do not take matters into your own hands.
Question from Greg Pratt and others around. Police may have arrested some looters, but they did not arrest all. In many cases, they stood by as looting happened. Can you explain what the strategy was for handling looters? Whether the city prioritized non-confrontation over arresting?
This was what the strategy was to confront the looters.
Totally misguided. I will allow the superintendent to really weigh in on the substance of that. There was no directive to stand by and let people loot. We arrested 700 people yesterday. That's not standing by. We took how many guns, Superintendent?
64 guns.
64 guns? That's not standing by. That's offensive.
132 officers were injured trying to protect this
city. That's offensive and wrong, and the data disproves of that. Now, the reality is, what I saw and what I heard is that this looting spread like a wildfire all over the South and the West Sides in particular. There's no possibility with a police force four times the size. We had 65,000 calls for service yesterday, 1,000 every 30 minutes, in some instances 2,000. Our police department did the best that they could under the circumstances. We had added additional resources directed by these men on the South and the West Sides to respond to that challenge. But the challenge was significant. People, unfortunately, believed that they could act in a lawless manner without any regard for their neighbors. You know, Commissioner Escareno said this well, and I think it bears repeating. When you loot a business, you're not just taking goods, you're destroying someone's dreams. Those small businesses sacrificed and saved money to have their dream realized, that hired employees from your neighborhood to serve you. You took their hope and destroyed it. And we're not going to let that happen, which is why we are launching all these city services into the neighborhoods to step up and support our neighbors, your neighbors, so that they can recover and they can rebuild. But this is a complicated thing, and I understand that. And I understand that people feel hopeless without a sense of ownership under the geography on their feet. But there are constructive ways in which we can address those problems, the generations of hurt and disinvestment. There are constructive ways in which we can lift up and give voice to the lack of investment, the hurt, the pain that's happened in way too many communities, way too many families, way too many individuals. But that is different than what we saw over the last 2 days. God help us all if we believe that we can express our pain by destroying the hopes and dreams and the livelihoods and the fortunes of others. That's not the way. That is just not the way.
Question from Blackwell. Police say they're using CTA buses because they don't have enough cars. Is that
true? Question is whether the police are using CTA buses because they don't have enough cars.
We went to a full mobilization of the department, 12 hours on, 12 hours off. We have done that before, but very rarely. We use other methods of transportation given the increase in resources that we normally would never use because it's so rarely mobilized fully. There's 13,000 cops. We tried to bring in half on a 12-hour shift, relieve them, bring in the other half of the department. Our resources are such that we are spread out over three shifts. So we collapsed all our three shifts and went 12 on, 12 off. We were changing our strategies moment by moment, not day by day. This was very fluid, unpredictable. Throughout every night, when we thought through what was actually happening on the ground, where we understood from Friday this distraction, they put a fire here into the to another area just to have a lot of riders go to another area to distract and split our resources. When we saw them drag our officers from a small group of officers to combat down violence and pummel him, we then moved our resources to where we were fully deployed in a large way to combat our officers being pulled and dragged and pummeled. So it was moment by moment adjusting and readjusting our resources from day to day. And not just what was happening here in our city in Chicago, this playbook is happening all across the country in LA and New York and Dallas. This is what this group has, in my opinion, organized across this country to wreak havoc on our democracy.
That's Police Superintendent David Brown talking about the violence over the weekend. Also, the mayor there talking about what the plans are. Just a few numbers. He said that 132 Chicago police officers were injured in standing up to the protesters over the weekend. There were nearly 700 arrests just yesterday alone. When it comes to the looting, Mayor Lightfoot said it was everywhere. It spread like wildfire.